Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live around the world, this is The Ryan Lindsay Show. Phone lines are open to speak with Ryan or any of his guests at 319-527-6702 or email Ryan. The email address is ryan@ryanlindsayshow.com. Now, here's Ryan Lindsay.
Once again, broadcasting live from the beautiful Northwoods of Wisconsin, I am Ryan Lindsay, and we've got a good one for you tonight. Kind of a special show tonight. We don't normally do Thursday shows. Usually it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday show, but we've rescheduled from Monday to today. Very glad to get Dr. Uma Naidu on the show about her book, This Is Your Brain on Food. So we'll talk about the psychological effects of food and what we eat and how it affects our daily lives. So that's coming up shortly. As always, need to introduce my co-host, Tamara Gleason. Tamara, how are you?
Hi, I'm pretty good tonight. How are you guys doing over there? Up in the Northwoods, you're a little farther north than me.
I'm a little farther north, yeah. We hit 70 degrees today. So for November 5th.
Was it a blessing?
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
You know, I was just looking
really
ahead.
Was.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking ahead to our guest tomorrow, Connie Habish. We'll talk about awakening from anxiety. And so this is kind of 2 days in a row. We'll talk about relieving anxiety today by nutrition, tomorrow spiritually. I didn't plan it that way. It just kind of happened that way.
It's like
that's kind of back to that
plan.
Yeah, back to that synchronicity
That's
thing
great.
Again.
Oh, wasn't last night's show great?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was something. I could have listened to him all night. Laird Scranton was our guest, talked about ancient mysteries of history, and he was something. I'm deep into the book now.
Well, you know, send it on over. Actually, he has, what did he say? Is this his 13th or 12th book out?
Around there, yeah, 12 or 13. So, yeah, we got to get our hands on the other one that you came on again.
Yeah, we might have to.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our guest tonight.
Really well.
Dr. Uma Naidu is a board-certified psychiatrist, professional chef, and nutrition specialist. She is currently the director of nutritional and lifestyle psychiatry at Massachusetts General Hospital, where she consults on nutritional interventions for the psychiatrically and mentally ill. She's a director of nutritional psychiatry at the Massachusetts General Hospital Academy and founder of a private practice. She also teaches at the Cambridge School of Culinary Arts. She is the author of This Is Your Brain on Food. Very glad to welcome Dr. Uma Naidu to the show. Doctor, very glad to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Ryan. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, yes, my pleasure. Absolutely. Let's start with I don't know if many people knew that or have known that a nutritional psychologist or psychiatrist is a thing. Explain what exactly you do as a nutritional psychiatrist.
Sure. So, you know, Ryan, it's a relatively new term in the medical and psychiatric field, but the sort of practice and investigation and research of nutrients that affect brain health has been going on for many, many decades. So, you know, my mentors at Mass General and other places have studied folate, methylfolate, other vitamins, magnesium, vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids for a very, very long time. But how I like to explain it is that, you know, nutritional psychiatry sort of puts it together as a composed plate of food. You know, we don't eat one nutrient or one food at a time. We generally eat different foods on a plate. And the way that nutritional psychiatry works is it really is offering people an additional tool in their toolkit to feel emotionally fortified and emotionally well. And it really is through the use of whole, healthy foods and ingredients and nutrients for the different mental health conditions.
Okay, you brought up, you mentioned vitamin D. That's something here in Wisconsin we hear a lot of. And now we're going into winter, and
right.
people are cooped up inside. We don't get a lot of vitamin D during the winter, but it's so important, isn't it? Direct sunlight on our skin.
Absolutely, and as you correctly pointed out, more than about 80% of what we really need of vitamin D comes from that direct sunlight. And it's in, you know, it's in open sunlight. It's not through a window either. And, you know, I'm in the far northeast, and it's the same thing. Many of us here are deficient. So it becomes an important nutrient to think about. And there are ways, of course, that you can get that through food. But, you know, the bigger question is really how we're handling our nutrition in the United States. And depending on where you are and what you're trying to eat, I feel that any one of us can improve what we're doing. Because we go into doctor's offices and we talk about a family history of diabetes or that someone in the family may have high cholesterol or hypertension, but no one is talking about a very, very important organ in the body, which is the brain. And, you know, the fact that nutrients in food affect the brain through the gut-brain axis and our mental well-being, especially now, is more important than ever because there are many people who are suffering in silence through the pandemic, and I think it's something we just need to be more aware of because there's so much of stigma around mental well-being and mental illness.
Sure, sure. Explain that relationship between our guts and our brains. I think a lot of people just eat to fill our bellies, but without realizing that it really does affect our brains too. Explain that relationship.
It does. It's true. I mean, we eat to feel full, to feel, you know, satiated. But absolutely, the gut and the brain are two different parts of the body, as we know. So most people don't think they're associated. But they actually arise from the same cells in the embryo. And then throughout our lives, the gut and the brain are connected by the vagus nerve, which is our 10th cranial nerve. And this nerve acts as a two-way superhighway with bidirectional flow of information between the gut and the brain and the brain and the gut. So I think it's helpful for people to understand that because as our food gets digested, you know, there are messages through that digestive process that get transmitted back and forth between the gut and the brain. And then, you know, many of us know or have heard of medications such as Prozac or Zoloft, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and people call serotonin the happiness hormone. Well, more than 90% of those serotonin receptors are in the gut. And it really helps people to understand that because if they're in the gut, then they are definitely going to be impacted by any foods that we eat. And then I think the other important thing for people to understand right now, Ryan, is that a large component of our immune system is in the gut. So eating in a healthy way that is protective of those microbes in the gut that are there to protect us and look after us, both our mental well-being and our physical well-being, becomes even more important to help our immunity.
You brought up the people on Prozac and so forth and antidepressants. Should we be looking at food to relieve our depression before we look at medication?
No, absolutely not. So, you know, I prescribe medications. I think medications are important, and they are life-saving for certain individuals. Food is really an additional method of taking care of your mental health. Depending on how ill you are or how poorly you are feeling, you may be able to try nutritional methods as the first line of treatment, but you should be speaking to a doctor about it, of course. Or you might already be on a medication and be thinking, well, how can I feel even better? And food becomes a very easy way to do that because we have to eat. We eat several meals a day, and it's something within our control. And therefore, nutrition and how we handle that becomes very much something we can do ourselves. And it can be incorporated into any other treatment plan that you have. So it's really not either or. It's alongside any other treatment that you may be having, and it does not replace medications if your doctor feels you should be taking them.
Okay. Talking with Dr. Uma Naidu, this is your Brain on Food, an indispensable guide to the surprising foods that fight depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, ADHD, and more. If you'd like to join us in the conversation, then feel free to give a call. 319-527-6702 is the number. And so what, Doctor, are some foods that can help us relieve depression then, depression and anxiety?
Sure. So if we start with depression, you know, some of the things that people have heard about are things like omega-3 fatty acids, and they've heard about that in the form of a supplement. But it also, actually can also be obtained through certain fatty fish, well-sourced. Things like salmon, mackerel, tuna, herring, and sardines are all really good sources of omega-3 fatty acids. And if you don't eat seafood, you can get the short-chain omega-3 fatty acids from things like chia seeds, basil seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, sea algae, and a few other things. So you can obtain it that way. And it turns out that omega-3 fatty acids actually help both depression and anxiety, and this has been demonstrated in human clinical trials. So I think it's an important one for us to bear in mind. Then the other things that people tend to overlook are the use of spices. It turns out that saffron and turmeric actually showed significant improvement in mood in studies of individuals. And I think that, you know, something that's easily overlooked. So the addition of these spices can be very helpful. And then there are some really important building blocks, such as using healthy fats like olive oil and avocados, which bring back healthy fats to the brain and are important for us. Vitamin B-rich foods are important, as well as micronutrients, including magnesium and zinc. And then other herbs such as oregano and lavender become important as well for helping our mood. And beyond that, I would just say, Ryan, that, you know, there are some building blocks such as the use of fermented foods and prebiotic foods in our diet that really nurture those gut microbes and really help fend off any type of mental illness. So those are important too.
Okay. What are some prebiotic foods?
So some prebiotic foods are things such as beans, oats, bananas, berries, and then think allium family, garlic, leeks, onions, things that we basically cook with quite often and every day. So those are very great, good sources of nutrients for those gut microbes. There are about 39 trillion microbes in the gut, of different kinds, and we really want them working as an army for us than against us. And prebiotics is one of the foods that helps to nurture them.
Okay. Tamara, do you want to jump in here?
Well, this is just all such good information for us right now. I apologize. I am on the road thanks to modern technology, so I hope hope you can hear me.
But
working in, you know, with a colon hygienist all last year in Nashville, you know, being a hypnotist, you know, you pick up on all this good knowledge. And what she is saying is just, you know, I was able to sample that last year, and then we fall out of habit, right? Mm-hmm. Then we come back to our other culture where it's not as, you know, because I'm back in Wisconsin, it's not as available to us. So I'm fascinated with all the good reminders of, you know, that our gut is so important for our mental clarity and our intuition even.
Absolutely. No, thanks for saying that, Tamara, because, you know, I think with any of these sort of plans towards trying to eat healthier or doing something better for our mental health or mental well-being, you know, it's hard to follow a plan and stick with it. But, you know, I try to think of it like a good skincare routine. If we found the right cleanser and moisturizer and toner, you know, and your skin is looking great, you know, you don't really want to give that up. And in a similar way, we have to think about that way in terms of food and our bodies and our mind. And I think it really does require, it's challenging to maintain and keep up those habits. And that's why I feel that the taste and flavor of our food, even when we're trying to eat healthier, should be important. It, you know, you shouldn't have to eat something that you don't want to eat, and if it doesn't taste good, no one wants to follow that kind of plan. So that becomes important too. And then, you know, taking small and steady steps towards improving what we're doing is important too.
How about, I think of recently, I tried to get myself completely off of sugar, just kind of replace it with fresh fruits instead of mm-hmm. you know, soda and things like that, and sweets. And I the first week or so, I was a bear. Could I have been going through a withdrawal?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that it maybe your temperament changed, but you know, some of the people I've worked with actually have had precipitous panic attacks, severe anxiety, and that's why when I do definitely want to encourage them to embrace a healthier lifestyle and slowly come off those added refined sugars, but I have them do it slowly. And I'm glad, Brian, that you didn't have more severe symptoms, but sometimes people can present with panic attacks and feel like they immediately need a psychiatric medication for that. So, you know, often, I'll tell you, some of the issue with sugar, especially in the United States, is the hidden added sugars that we don't realize, and that's often because we don't know how much of sugar is in something. And secondly, that we don't know that there's another name for sugar being used on a food label. There are about upwards close to 250 other names for sugar on food labels. So sometimes you may be innocently buying a product and you don't realize that there's sugar in it because it's just a different name for sugar. And I think that that's important for people to know. So these are added sugars. And then the second thing is that, you know, our food labels are in grams, but we cook, and any recipe in the United States is standardized to pounds and ounces. So when people look at food labels, how would you possibly know how many grams of sugar and what that means? But 4 grams of sugar is approximately 1 teaspoon, and that's an easy conversion for you. So if you look at a food label or that fancy coffee that you might be buying at a coffee store and look at the app and see if it has, you know, 58 grams of sugar or 24 grams of sugar, that equals a pretty large number of teaspoons, which you wouldn't necessarily be adding to something if you were, say, making it at home or having it in a different situation.
You know, when you bring up artificial sweeteners and all the different names for sugar, when I kind of quit cold turkey here, I discovered xylitol, and I really thought I was onto something here. Because I read that it was actually good for your teeth. So I thought this is too good to be true. It's an artificial sweetener, xylitol. I can put it on my grape nuts and everything, and I'll be great. I can eat it. This is healthy. But I think that's not the right way to think, is it?
Well, you know, it's hard because I know I appreciate the effort that you're trying to come up, you know, the refined sugars that we know drive depression, worsen anxiety, and have actually been shown to do some studies. But the issue with artificial sweeteners is there are a few that have a better relationship with insulin, and a couple of those are stevia and erythritol. And erythritol is sold as Swerve in supermarkets, and it's used for baking. But again, everything in moderation. But many, many, many of the artificial sweeteners, unfortunately, just drive a lot of symptoms and worsen symptoms of mental well-being. So, you know, generally, I know that you might have read that or seen that, and maybe it's one positive quality about it, but many of them actually disrupt the gut and don't have a good effect, especially on mental well-being. One of the things being anxiety. So, you know, I think what you said at the beginning, Ryan, about, you know, using fruit and, you know, getting almost your little, your sweet bite from a natural source, such as, you know, a small bowl of blueberries or some strawberries or something that gives you that natural sweet kick, maybe just a much better way to go. And all I say about the fruit servings is, you know, spread them out. stick to portion control, and I would rather you eat your berries than juice your berries. So, eat your berries rather than get a juice or some other version of it, because that's always going to be healthier for you, especially because of when you eat the fruit, the fiber is right there as well as the nutrients and the vitamins.
Mm-hmm, of course. If we should, back to depression and anxiety, if we should wake up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, is there a food or something that can give us a quick boost?
You know, unfortunately with mental health, that sort of food dosing idea of let's get up and have something that's going to make me immediately feel better, we're not quite there in terms of what we know about nutrients. But there are a few things that can help you when you have those days. And some of the things that help you when you have those bad days is what you're doing really beforehand. You know, the kind of lifestyle, we tend to be very much in sync with what we're eating. So if we are eating a fast food diet and those types of foods, we're probably not going to be feeling emotionally great. And if you are, good for you. However, what I can say is some of the ingredients in those foods in fast food places are ultimately going to affect you because of their effect on the gut. So I think it's really about finding the path of good, healthy whole foods, doing it in moderation, eating, within good portion control, but including those healthy nutrients that are going to help fend off symptoms over time. And I think if you're generally doing that, and you're going to be in a better place anyway. And then there might be the odd morning that you wake up feeling a little anxious, or you wake up not feeling great. And in those moments, Ryan, I think that mindfulness, the type of either, spiritual or non-spiritual practice that you have, either yoga exercises, maybe it's just a short meditation, maybe it's just mindfulness or taking some deep breaths, can help you through those moments much more effectively at times than, say, I would be misleading if I said, oh, just get up and eat some blueberries and you'll feel great. Blueberries will be excellent for you. They will certainly help your body, your mind, and the antioxidant boost to your brain will be excellent. But it's not as though you're immediately going to feel better from eating that. It's more that you've been doing it in a very consistent way, like a good skincare regime.
Okay, makes sense. I think I look at your background, and you're a Harvard psychiatrist, nutrition specialist, and professional chef. You must be doing exactly what you always wanted to do, things you love.
Thank you for saying that. I really feel blessed by the fact that I followed things that I enjoyed doing. Clearly, food is a very big part of my life, and I enjoy that. And I just felt that I wanted, when I was learning about psychiatric medications and learned the power of having a prescription pad, I really also wanted to have the respect behind that. When I write a medication prescription, I also know that's impacting someone's physical and mental health. And I wanted to understand from a nutritional perspective and a lifestyle perspective that they had many tools that, in addition to taking that medication, that they could use to feel better. And that's where studying and learning more about nutrition became important to me. And I can honestly say with great humility that I followed doing things that I loved. I've always loved working with people and wanted to integrate a way that, really from my Hindu roots, that, that connection of mind, body, soul, how we eat, how we feel, what we do, whether it's medication, whether it's mindfulness, whether it's mindful eating, that all of those things really come together in a very comprehensive way to make us feel better.
Talking with Dr. Uma Naidu, This Is Your Brain on Food is the title of the book, an indispensable guide to the surprising foods that fight depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, ADHD, and more. And once again, if you'd like to join us in the conversation, give a call, 319-527-6702. Now, you brought up blueberries. Don't you say in the book that blueberries are effective for PTSD?
They are. And studies have actually shown that they are helpful in reduction of symptoms of PTSD. So I think that that's one of those foods to start to incorporate in a slow and steady way into your diet. It turns out that wild blueberries, if you have access to them, have twice the amount of antioxidants, which are very powerful for your brain. So, you know, a little half a cup of blueberries and spreading that out in terms of maybe sprinkling some in your morning on your breakfast, having them as a snack with some healthy nuts. So just become a really good way to eat and to add that fruit. And it's a low glycemic fruit, so it doesn't impact your blood sugar as much as some of the higher glycemic fruit. And, you know, I think it just becomes a healthy habit that you can incorporate and also enjoy.
How about we hear a lot, there's always commercials on TV nowadays about general brain fog and how to improve memory. Mm-hmm. Which I think that I forget the name of the product,
yeah.
But I see the commercials all the time.
Yeah.
Anything
right.
in particular that can help with brain fog and memory?
Yes, so there's some antioxidants that actually have been shown in research to help brain fog. And the antioxidant is called luteolin. And rather than try to remember that name, what I would suggest is that you include foods like fresh peppermint, which can be had actually as a tea or, you know, as an herb that you add to something, sage, thyme, hot peppers, sweet peppers, celery seeds, parsley, artichokes, and dried Mexican oregano, just to name a few. And dried Mexican oregano is an easy spice to add to the dishes that you cook. But by incorporating these foods, because of the antioxidant boost that they have, will help you over time to, you know, to improve symptoms of brain fog. So it's a good thing to add in if you can.
How about a lot of people are going gluten-free now, and how important is that? How can it help our brains?
So it turns out that, you know, in studies, in a review of what drives or worsens anxiety, gluten came up as sort of an offender in that it worsened some individuals who had anxiety. So I would say that if you are struggling with anxiety, that you may want to slowly just cut back on the sources of gluten that you have and be somewhat wary of it. The other condition where gluten showed up was ADHD. So in addition to individuals who may have a diagnosis of celiac disease or non-celiac gluten sensitivity, it seems that, you know, coming off gluten for symptoms of ADHD may be helpful. I also think, Ryan, it's important the source of the gluten. And, you know, in certain conditions in mental well-being, it definitely drives or worsens symptoms like anxiety or ADHD. The rest of the time, I would really ask people to pay attention to what I call body intelligence, which is how, when you eat something, how is your body responding to that? And if it's responding in a way that is making you feel uncomfortable or you just don't feel good, pay attention to it, because it might be that that's something you can learn from and either cut back on that food or over time not eat it if it's making your body feel uncomfortable or causing digestive or gastrointestinal issues.
Sure. I suppose something like keeping a food diary would be important in that case.
Absolutely. Watch not only being careful of what you eat, but then writing it down can help you reflect on, you know, what have you been eating, when do those symptoms arise, and then you can always share that information, which is extremely valuable to a clinician such as myself.
Mm-hmm. We are 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving, so we're going to hear a lot of people talking about tryptophan and how it's going to put us to sleep after a Thanksgiving dinner. Are there other foods other than tryptophan or turkey that benefit us for sleep?
Absolutely. So, you know, it turns out that we right now, because of the level of anxiety and stress that people experience, definitely hearing a lot about struggles to get to sleep. It turns out that, you know, things like omega-3 fatty acids do help sleep. So the rich fatty fish will help you. Melatonin-rich foods will help you. And my trick for this is flip your breakfast. So eggs, you know, certain fish, and, you know, certain milks, as well as vegetables such as asparagus and broccoli, all have sources of melatonin, as well as several other foods that I list in my book. But when you flip your breakfast, if you have an omelet at dinner and add in some veggies like asparagus and broccoli, those will actually bring back sources of melatonin to your brain. And it's one way to think about almost getting your body ready for sleep by having something like that for dinner. And the other neat thing that I discovered through my research is it turns out that chickpeas are a great source of tryptophan. So even having that as part of your side dish or a snack in the evening may be a good idea.
So those melatonin-rich foods would be good to like you mentioned broccoli. Good to have a little broccoli before bedtime and kind of get yourself in the routine.
Exactly, and I like to combine it in a little dish like an omelet, because when you add eggs, some dairy, you know, a good source of milk, some asparagus and broccoli in your omelet, all of those actually pack the power of melatonin. So, you know, making that omelet for dinner may actually be a good idea to help your lung.
Mm-hmm. You also have a lot of recipes in the book.
I do. So chapter 11 is recipes, and they're meant to pair with the different chapters, but they're also meant to be two things. One, interchangeable depending on the diet that you have. If you're vegan, you can make an easy substitution in the salmon recipe or others with a vegetarian protein or source of a vegetable that you might like. But also the other way, if you, you know, see a vegetable-based dish and you want to add in a protein, that is seafood or animal protein, it's quite easy to do. But the other thing is it's meant to be interchangeable with the chapters. It's meant to line up with the chapters and the foods that we're encouraging you to eat for each different condition. But you can also use them interchangeably if you like recipes from the different chapters of the book.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. This next question, I always think of this when I'm watching TV and I see one of those commercials, but why do so many medications say to avoid grapefruit juice?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. This is part of the reason why I don't say it glibly when I say always mention these things to your doctor, because even though it might seem innocent that you're taking a supplement, unfortunately, you know, things that are natural and healthy like grapefruit do interact with certain medications because of them interacting with some of the enzyme systems in the liver. So just always be careful of grapefruit if you're taking medications or supplements. Make sure that you run it by your doctor, because he or she would know, you know, the interactions that it has.
Okay.
So it is definitely, I'm glad you brought that up, because I talk about it all the time, just you know, try and remind people to be careful, even though it's actually a healthy option.
Sure. How about moving on to bipolar disorder? Are there foods that can worsen that?
Yeah, you know, I think that I would say the components of our Western diet that you know, that we sort of eat most of the time are not good for this condition. So high glycemic foods, a lot of high carbohydrate foods, white bread, white rice, potatoes, and pasta made from the more refined flours are definitely not helping bipolar disorder. You know, I always suggest that keeping caffeine intake, your coffee, number of cups of coffee, less than 400 milligrams a day would be important to not worsen symptoms. And then because some of the medications used to treat bipolar disorder include a medication called lithium, this interacts with sodium and sodium is salt, so you have to be careful about your salt intake, because lithium actually interacts with that, and that's why your doctor will check your blood levels, etc. when you're taking such a medication. And other things like gluten also seem to worsen symptoms, as well as alcohol. So those became important. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Too many people self-medicating with alcohol. That's I was a police officer for 15 years, and I knew every call like that that I got, it would involve alcohol, and we're in Wisconsin too,
right.
So it's just kind of part of the story.
Absolutely. I mean, in the pandemic, you know, the use of alcohol and drugs has increased precipitously across the country. So it's definitely something we want to be keeping a check on right now, just because it has been a hard time. It's been a very difficult time for all of us, and the uncertainty is continuing. But, you know, if we've picked up any unhealthy eating or drinking habits, it might be a time to just check in with ourselves and, you know, find a healthier path forward just for our better brain health and physical health.
Sure, sure. We talked about sleep and Thanksgiving turkey and tryptophan and so forth. How about for insomnia and fatigue? What can help us with that?
Sure. So some of the foods that showed up for insomnia include things like tart cherries, and certainly in my part of the country, I don't get those fresh, but tart cherry juice has been shown to help insomnia. Certain things like chamomile tea are relaxing, and another impact that chamomile tea has is that it's mildly sedating. So having a nice warming cup of chamomile tea close to bedtime would be helpful to you. My other favorites are things like a golden milk. So, you know, whether it's almond milk or coconut milk with some added a turmeric with a pinch of black pepper, and, you know, can be warmed. And it can be a very, very soothing, relaxing drink to have in the evening. So, you know, trying out a few things like that would just be helpful for people to start.
You also mention in the book often a Mediterranean diet, how that can be beneficial. What exactly is that?
Sure. So a lot of studies in nutritional epidemiology have looked at the use of the Mediterranean diet, and I'll explain that in a moment, and have shown significant improvement in depression as well as in symptoms of anxiety. So it seems that eating what individuals eat in the Mediterranean region, a really robust diet of fruit, vegetables, beans, nuts, legumes, healthy fats such as olive oil and avocado, lean proteins such as certain types of seafood or lean poultry, and some red wine, and you know the spirit of that sort of Mediterranean eating plan has really shown to help improve mood. So having some version of that in your life may be extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm. Once again, talking with Dr. Uma Naidu about the book, This Is Your Brain on Food, an indispensable guide to the surprising foods that fight depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, ADHD, and more. And I'm looking at your website. Let's see. Actually, I just clicked on it here. And you've got an article, The 5 Best Plant-Based Foods to Eat When Anxious. And the first one is dark chocolate. Is that
mm-hmm.
dark chocolate is helpful?
Dark chocolate is helpful. It's just not the candy bar style. It's the extra dark, natural raw chocolate. It is super healthy because it's very rich in cacao flavanols, which are great brain foods because of the rich antioxidants. Also, the process of making dark chocolate is actually fermented. Fermented foods are very good for our gut bacteria and our gut microbes. So, you know, adding in a tiny square of extra dark chocolate or adding a few dark chocolate chips with berries in the evening are really a good choice for that sweet tooth, but really using natural sources.
What else can we find on your website? It's umanaidumd.com. What will we find there?
So Thank you. So we love for people to subscribe to our weekly newsletter where we try to send out useful, helpful, updated information with, you know, brain healthy tips. On occasion, we send out a recipe. Other times, we're giving you the most recent research. And also, you'll find a way to link to how to obtain my book, the different sites which are online, or, you know, you can support your local bookseller as well. And, you know, we just try to use either the website or our platform on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And the handle is @drumanaidoo. We use those really to provide scientific information from the book, updated studies, helpful tips to how you can eat. Because this is a journey, Ryan, that we're all on together. You know, we any one of us can improve what we're doing on a given day, and none of us is perfect. So it's really about sharing information that we can use together to start to improve how we're doing.
Excellent. Well, this has been so much fun, Dr. Naidu. The book is very interesting, and it's been fun to talk to you tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan. It was an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate your great questions.
Great. Thank you. You have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Dr. Uma Naidu, folks, this is your Brain on Food. And take a look at her website. It's Uma, U-M-A, Naidu, NAIDOOMD.com, umanaidu.com. A lot of good information there, and you can get information on how to find the book. It's a hardcover book. If you collect books, this is a good one to have. And look at her website for information, and the book has a lot of great recipes, too. I'm going to have to go through this a little closer and make some of the recipes. She's a professional chef, so she knows what she's talking about when it comes to preparing food, and she knows what she's talking about when she talks about psychiatry as well. So very good conversation with Dr. Uma Naidu. Tomorrow, we'll talk about anxiety again. With Connie Habish, we'll talk about her book, Awakening from Anxiety, kind of a more spiritually based route to relieving anxiety and stress, a spiritual guide to living a more calm, confident, and courageous life. Thank you very much for joining me today. Take a look at RyanLindseyShow.com for information on guests past, present, and future. You can sign up for the newsletter there to get the first news of who the guest will be coming up for the next couple of weeks. RyanLindseyShow.com. Hope to see you there. We'll talk tomorrow. I'm Ryan Lindsey.
Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to The Ryan Lindsey Show. Visit RyanLindseyShow.com for more information about The Ryan Lindsey Show.